a wonderful thing to know that the God we serve is the one true. He is the only living God. Amen. There is no other. God himself said that. Beside me, there is no other. Every religion that serves, worships some other kind of God, and there are many. They're all serving gods of men's imagination. Gods they can look at, they can hold in their hand. I always wondered about the idols in the Old Testament, how deluded people can be to make an image with your hands and then set it up and say, that's my God. Something you create. But men are still trying to do that today. They create their own gods. And I'm glad that we can serve the living God. I appreciate each one being here tonight. And I thank God for his mercies and his goodness to us. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to begin in 2 Timothy, but go to a couple other places, just three verses tonight. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Words are very important to remember, because when you read God's Word, you sometimes wonder, we question, what's this for? Do I need it? But listen what God said. All Scripture. That's a lot. That's Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And one last scripture, 1 Corinthians. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he makes this statement because he understood it was so easy for men to receive words from other men in a wrong way, not understanding what they really were. 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you. Those epistles that Paul wrote, they are the commandments of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your precious word. We thank you that when we open the pages of this book, that it is not like opening any other book. These are living words spoken by the living God. We need them. You desire that we receive them. I pray tonight, Lord, that your Spirit would anoint these lips of clay, anoint each heart and mind, that we could receive what you have for us in your names. We pray. Amen. You may be seated. Subject I want to talk to you for a little bit tonight, and I'll admit that I don't always think about getting some kind of exciting subject title. I don't preach that way, and nor do I plan message titles. It may not sound so exciting. You may not even understand when I say it, how it's going to help or encourage or strengthen you. But I will tell you that it is of utmost importance. And any time we open our heart to receive God's word, we will be helped. All Scripture is profitable. Amen. This will encourage us, and I'm convinced it'll strengthen our faith if we receive it as from the Lord. My subject tonight is simply divine authority. I think every one of us would agree tonight, because the God that Sister Kim sang about, we believe that that is the true God. Amen? We believe that God has all authority in all things because he is God. There is no area in which he does not have authority. But the reality is that God has especially expressed His divine authority in a certain way, and that is in the written words of Scripture, what we call the Holy Bible. And it's that I want to deal with tonight. The subject divine authority in a general sense goes very far, but I want to deal more specifically. Could call it the divine authority of the Bible or Scripture. But it is that authority that is plainly, very clearly expressed in the pages of God's Word. Those words God Himself gave through men. Sometimes people get hung up reading the Bible, not understanding, not having the faith in God. The same thing happens when they hear messages. And I'm not talking about the junk that's in the world, but I mean truly anointed messages. It's easy to get caught up in the thought that, well, a man wrote this or a man speaking this, and when we lower ourselves to that thought, we miss the divine authority that is behind the written and the spoken word of God when that word is spoken from here. Amen? If I come tonight to speak to you about somebody's opinions, it's not going to do anything. But if I speak from the written, inspired Word of God, it has divine authority behind that. Most of us realize, just to tie this into our world and our current situation, there is a great struggle in our society. It has increased in recent decades. It wasn't so much like this 100 years ago, not to this degree, and even less before that. There's a struggle that we are in as a society in regards to authority. All over in different realms, mostly we look at the political realm, the government, and yet it's in other realms too. But men and women, they seek for authority. A lot of people want power. They want influence over other people. They want authority. And they do all kinds of crazy things to try to get authority. But I'll tell you, in our nation, in our world, there's very little real authority. There's authority granted by government. There's authority that is taken forcefully. But I'm talking tonight about divine authority. And among men, there seems to be very little of that. We could look politically, we could look at the medical scene, we could look at the scientific world, economics, almost any area of human endeavor that you want to look at, there's a struggle with authority, and I'll tell you why. Because true authority is only as good as its source. Amen? Now, you think about that and you know where I'm going tonight because we're talking about divine authority. When the sources of human authority, whether it's a government leader, whether it's an economic, a business, a corporate leader, someone like that, when those individuals who are the source of human authority, when they lack integrity, when they lack consistency, when they are constantly shifting their opinions and their positions, when they're influenced by money and, you know, even things like public polling. We have politicians who change their positions based on how the polls come out. They may gain a position, but they lack true authority. Because the source is corrupt. And for a lot of people, now we need to be careful as God's children. This is not in my notes, but we need to be careful of God's children because we have, from the divine authority of God's word, the command, as long as it's not violating the word, we are to obey authorities. Amen? That's not easy for me to say. Because there's things they are doing that I don't agree with, but as long as it doesn't violate God's word or my conscience, I'm supposed to submit myself. But a lot of people struggle with this. There is a great struggle now, even in the Christian community. They have difficulty accepting and submitting to the authority of men because the source of the authority is not reliable. Amen? We could come over into the church. We don't have to just look at politics because this happens often. If a preacher or a pastor, if you know he stands for certain things, he has certain positions doctrinally and his own convictions, and if the denomination sends down different opinions, different orders for him, and he changes based on what the denomination says, he has lost all spiritual authority. Amen. The truest sense, he has lost authority. Now, we could use lots of examples like that in the human realm, and you know what I'm referring to. But when you begin to look at God's word, amen, and this is what I want to focus on, the authority of this blessed old Bible, we call it, and we think about the one who is the source of this book. He is not a man who is changeable, amen. He is not an individual who is lacking in integrity that had this position one day or this millennia and then changed the next. This ought to encourage our soul. It ought to strengthen our faith in God's word. It ought to make us happy to submit to the authority of God's word because we know that the one who is the source of it is utterly and completely reliable. He is holy. He is just. His integrity is perfect. He is perfect in faithfulness, perfect in wisdom, perfect in, matter of fact, he has all knowledge and wisdom about all things, and you don't ever have to worry about him changing his position. Amen. He said of his own word, it is forever settled in heaven. Amen. Devils can't change it. Men may laugh at it and mock at it, but God's word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. It is reliable because the one who spoke it, the one who gave it to holy men of old, he is a God who never fails. Hallelujah. Now there's just three areas I just want to touch on, because what I want you to realize tonight, we talk about the authority of God's word, is that there are, you say, Brother Chris, I believe in God's word by faith. Well, I'm thankful, and I want to strengthen your faith tonight by the facts of history, by the truth that has been revealed about the word of God, by what historians and biblical scholars and people who are true to and people, men of integrity, have learned about God's word. It encourages us and it causes us to want to submit ourselves to the authority of God's word. You know, God wants us to do that because it's for our good. Some of you know, but in case you don't, I'll mention a few things. This Bible, made up of 66 books, was written over a span of 1,500 years. That's a little more than any one man can do. We don't know exactly how many authors, probably around 40. You say, what do you mean you don't know exactly? Because some of the books we don't know the authors of. Men have opinions about it. Some say 38, you know, some say 40, and some, we don't know exactly who wrote, especially the Old Testament, some of the Old Testament books. It's not a concern to me, because what we know from the study of God's word is that everything that God has given to men, written over that course of 1,500 years, every single bit of God's word has been woven together as a perfect, beautiful tapestry. It is in perfect harmony because it has one source who is the living God. It was all inspired by God himself. It is his word, it is his revealed will, and it carries the authority of the Godhead. You see, men have tried at different times in history to do away with God's word. And I won't go back into all that. I don't want to keep you so long. And I don't mean just in the dark ages when papal rule kept the only few copies of the Bible chained to a pulpit in a church. I'm not talking about that, but I mean even as recent as a couple hundred years ago, one of the leading atheists said that within 100 years there will be no Bibles, there will be no belief in God, there will be no mention of Jesus Christ in this nation and in the world. Well, he's dead and gone and I can't remember his name, but I still got the Bible. Amen. Men have tried forever to discredit, mock, ridicule the word of God, but I remind you tonight, when it comes to God's word, it is not open for debate because it's God's word. He spoke it. You can argue with my opinion. I can disagree with yours. We can disagree with government officials and all the opinions of men, but we are wasting our time thinking we're going to debate God's word. It is settled. Amen. See, this necessarily gets into the question that some people have, you know, about preachers and ministers of God. You know, because sometimes they wonder, why do preachers seem so, you know, confident that what they're saying is right? Why do they come across so forceful? And I have had people ask about, you know, a certain preacher who is around here. Who do they think they are? Telling me what to do. As if we should accept what a man says. Well, I'll tell you tonight, I got kind of amused. This was a long time ago. Most of you wouldn't even know the individual. It has nothing to do with who the preacher is. Amen? You know, big shot or little nobody, little country preacher, didn't matter. But it has everything to do with where and who he derives his authority from. Amen. You see, I mention that because I've seen more than one. Many souls have got crossways with God, even lost out, backslid, because they develop an attitude where they begin to regard the preaching of God's word as a man's opinion, and therefore their opinion is equal to his opinion. While the truth is, if it is a true minister of God, anointed by God, they're not pitting their opinion against man, they're pitting their pitiful human opinion against the living God and his authority. Amen? That's a dangerous place for a soul to be in. Because it means they're refusing to submit to God's divine authority. If you realize how often this happens, weekly, daily, in the lives of people who call themselves Christians, it would probably put you on your knees. It would keep you burdened, as I often am many days, for souls who want to maintain professions of religion and have people think that they're a good Christian and go to churches and put on a good show outwardly, but they are rejecting the authority of God's written word and not submitting themselves to God. That is a dangerous place to be. But there's another thing that if I didn't even mention the first thing, this in itself would be reason enough. Matter of fact, this one reason alone is what has convinced people throughout history to bow their knee to Jesus Christ, to honor God, to respect him, because this is absolutely impossible on a human level. It is reason enough to recognize and submit to the authority of God in his word. Do you know that in the Bible, I don't deal with the subject of prophecy very much, because most of the time when we use that word prophecy, people are thinking, oh, you know, you're thinking about end times. Well, The Bible has over 1,800 prophecies, most all of which have already been fulfilled. Now you think about that. That doesn't move us much because we don't consider it often. You know, if we had some, matter of fact, I see it every now and then in a news headline, some so-and-so economist, he predicted 5 years ago that this would happen, and they're going, whoo, well, big deal. You know, Joe Blow made a guess about something generalized, and it happened. God never made general guesses. He said hundreds of years before they ever took place, he had holy men of old write them down. This is going to take place then in this detail. And let me tell you something. It happened. Over 1,800 prophecies, over 400 pertain specifically to Jesus Christ and were fulfilled in every detail. You know, if we could have found a writing of man from 2,000 years ago, some philosopher that predicted, you know, and he got a dozen things right, well, the world would just be fawning before his knowledge. But we've got a book with almost 2,000 prophecies. And God's not missed one. Amen? Not one. I mean, from the garden all the way through, and whatever prophecy have not been fulfilled, and there's opinions about that, you may think that, but they're all going to be fulfilled because God does not lie. Amen. He does not fail. I mean, even when in the garden after man sinned, what did he tell Eve? About her bearing a child, and said, there will come a child. There will come one. And his heel is going to be bruised, but he's going to crush the serpent's head. Amen? Amen. Do you know that happened on the cross? You read Isaiah 53, that hundreds of years before the suffering and the atoning death of Christ upon the cross, Isaiah predicted in detail. He prophesied, and every word of Isaiah 53 was fulfilled when Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died upon that cross. You could go to Daniel when he's prophesying about the four kingdoms that would come, and he goes into the detail about the different phases of those kingdoms. Every detail of those prophecies were fulfilled. And we could spend from now till next Sunday talking about these prophecies, so I'm not going to continue there. You say, Brother Chris, why is that so important? Well, dear one, I'll tell you one reason it's so important is the more that we learn about what God has said, he said it's going to happen. It's going to happen like this. It's going to happen in this time frame. The more that we discover it happened like God said, it happened when he said, it happened in the detail he said, the more that our confidence in the God's word ought to grow, the stronger our faith should become. Amen? I said, well, that don't really change anything for me. Well, that's not being very wise. Because the more confidence we have in God's word, the more faith I have in his authority, the more gladly and humbly I'm going to submit myself to him. I mean, just imagine this scenario to use an example. You could use a lot of scenarios. You know, suppose you were getting ready to buy a home that's, you know, been around a few years, and you find the best home inspector that you can find. He's been recommended, and, you know, he's got 5-star rating, but you don't know him. And he tells you, and then he writes it in the report, that in 5 years you're going to need a new roof. 3 years you're going to have to replace your heating and air unit. 2 years you're going to need a hot water heater. And within 1 year you're going to have problems with faulty wiring. He writes it down, he gives it to you. Well, you know, he's just a man. But after 5 years are over, you look back and every single thing that man said happened when he said it would happen. You think your opinion about him might change a little? You know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be recommending him. You're going to be telling somebody, when you buy a home, you got to get this guy. The source. He's reliable. He's accurate. What he said came to pass. Amen? You begin to understand why we need to have this kind of confidence in God and his authority and his word. We need to be recommending this to other people. We need to be telling them, you need to put down the junk that you're filling your mind with and get back to the blessed old Bible. Because you can rely on it. You can stake your eternal destiny upon the accuracy of God's word. There is that much authority in this book. And that's what we have done as God's children, right? I mean, I know that there are ways in which God expresses himself to us. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit and on. But every one of us here, dear ones, we came to Christ sometime or another because we heard it and we believed what God said. We staked our soul on the authenticity, the accuracy, the authority of what God has said. Amen. That's what all of us ought to be doing. We ought to be learning more and more about it. And the more we learn, the more we ought to honor it. The more we ought to respect God's word. The more we ought to, with gladness, submit ourselves. Amen? See, that's what you do when you have confidence in the source. Too many people, they pick it up and they say, well, that part's not for me. They don't have confidence in the one. I'm going to fall off here one of these days. I know. I watch y'all's eyes when I get on this edge. And some of y'all, I do this. And that time I almost tripped. You know why people don't abide by, obey, follow the word of God? Because they don't have confidence in its source. Amen. That's it. I could use so, I'm not going to go there. There's so many examples. But then the third and the last point I want to make about this, and in some ways the most significant of all. There is no clearer example of the authority, the divine authority of God's word, than the power that it has demonstrated throughout history to transform the lives and the characters of men and women. You know, no other book has that power. Amen? No other man has that influence. I'm not talking about just you know, dragging the crowd along. I'm talking about no publication of man, no words of man, no book that is ever written has the power and the authority to change a sinner into a saint, to transform the unrighteous into the righteous. No other book except God's book. But he's been doing it not by the hundreds, but millions upon millions of lives throughout history have been transformed by the power, the influence, the truthfulness of God's eternal word. And dear ones, if there is anything that tells us that that book is a book of divine authority, it ought to be what the lives changed, our own. We ought to be able to know as we stand before God, he has changed me, and it is through the word of God. See, you find whatever book you want to find. 2,400 years ago, this is before Christ, there was one of the greatest of the philosophers named Aristotle. Aristotle wrote, wasn't really a book, but a writings called The Principles of Ethics that philosophers have fawned over for over 2,000 years. Oh, but I tell you what, Aristotle's writings have not transformed one sinner into a saint. You could go back about 240 years 227 to be precise. A renowned writer, philosopher, and political activist, Thomas Paine, a name some of you remember. He wrote a book that has gone down in the annals of history as one of the greatest books ever written, called The Age of Reason. And again, students are still studying that book written by Thomas Paine after 200 years. But that book called The Age of Reason has never transformed a man from a life of sin into a life of holiness. Never. Nor has any other. Amen. You will not find it. But with this book, God's book, the book in which there is divine authority, we can know today, only God knows, but throughout church history, millions and millions of lives transformed by the power of God's word. How can that happen? What is written in a book? Because, dear one, this book is stamped with divine authority. God said it. God spoke it to holy men of old. See, we got to remember that those men, whoever the authors were, not even a big deal about all the authors that we know and understand who wrote every book, because they were but the penmen. Amen? See, when a writer or some big shot, he's got a secretary and he's dictating letters, and his secretary's typing them up and they go out, she doesn't sign her name at the bottom. No, it's the source. She's just the penman. That's all Moses was. That's all Paul was, and Peter and Zechariah and all the rest. They were but the penman of the Holy Ghost. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. This book is stamped with divine authority. And so we can trust it. We can anchor our souls on it. We can stand on its promises. We can know that when we do those things, our lives will be transformed by its divine power and authority. So today, where we are, dear brothers and sisters, we can't do anything about it. Well, I will tell you this. How you and I live our lives is not going to change or lessen the authority of God's word. Amen? I'll make that clear. There are many people in the church world who are outright hypocrites. There are many others deceived. There are lying preachers and false prophets still today. It does not change or lessen the authority of God's word. But let me tell you what we can do, and it is a privilege. We can be a part of that blessed number, that host. We can be among those whose godly lives and transformed Christ-like characters stands with and adds to the testimony of that great host of witnesses that this is God's book and you can rely on it. We can be those witnesses. Amen. We can declare with the saints of all ages that I have anchored my soul upon what God has said. Amen. I've trusted my eternity-bound soul on the authority, the divine authority of God's word. So I just want to encourage you tonight, as I close, as our praise team comes, to endeavor to live every day so that others can see in you the authority that God's word has in your life. Amen. The authority that God has expressed in it and is expressing through you. You see, something that ought to be true in every child of God, we ought to want others to believe it. This book that we hold so dear, we ought to want everybody that we know it, to believe it, to love it, amen, to be transformed by it. So if we want that, we ought to be living so that we are proving the reality of it, amen. I ask you to stand as we sing a couple verses of a closing hymn if you have a need. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your precious, precious word. Thank you, Lord, that when we read these sacred words that we can know, Lord, it is stamped with authority.